Howdy, boy. I like your toboggan, man.
I'll tell you what, today's a day to wear it.
Really is. Yeah, it was freezing here and a lot of snow. We had a great day, though. We actually worked, did telemedicine, but all day long. So it turned out pretty good.
Yeah, well, it's been a very interesting week. Shout out to everybody. Hopefully everybody's staying safe on the roads. I know Knoxville, the roads are a bit icy, so stay safe if you're going to get out. Real quick, Doc, I want to bring this picture up, and then we're going to talk more about the indoor garden, because I want to know what that was like, because you filmed inside this greenhouse, and you could actually, like, you could hear the fans, like, I felt like I was there. So I want to bring that up here in a second, but first, we sent this out, and I'm already getting questions about it. We did a little section of Performance Weekly. As you guys know, every Tuesday that email goes out. And we actually, it was my beautiful mother who came up with the idea of, like, why don't we do a section of, you know, what Doc is reading now? So we went through his chair, and these were the books we found. Which one are you currently in right now? Kind of speak to some of this.
Well, that was my Christmas reading. You know, we take the week off after Christmas, and I'm really going to get more into alternative treatments of cancer. Of course, along with the traditional treatments, in addition, what can you do to treat cancer? And the thing about the metabolism of cancer cells, they metabolize energy differently than regular cells. So this thing on how to starve cancer, and even the thing about mistletoe as an alternative form of cancer treatment is really fascinating me. So I really hope to get some good knowledge and things. I already have. I've already put a lot of it into play with some people. Spoke to a lady yesterday from Kansas who has cancer, and hopefully, there's my dog coming up to see me. Izzy already? but anyway, so yeah, I'm gonna look at that. So I'm really into a lot of this stuff about, you know, it kind of follows along with all the metabolic things that we do, because it turns out that regular cells really thrive on this thing called oxidative phosphorylation and utilizing oxygen for energy to make more ATP in your mitochondria. But cancer cells don't work that way. They really rely on a process called fermentation. And that's why they produce a lot of lactic acid. So if you can, in other words, cancer cells do not like oxygen. And they also do not like glucose and glutamine. So there's a nutritional way to really help yourself with cancer prevention and treatment. So just a really fascinating topic for me. Certainly hope that translates in a lot of useful information for a lot of people, because it seems like we're seeing a lot of cancer. You know, we've made great strides with preventing heart disease, but not as much with cancer. And cancer is a metabolism problem, kind of like diabetes is. And so that's what I'm into right now, and a few of the reading things I'm doing. And so it's just interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And if you guys let me know if you want me to put that list up during the show here. I see that from Denise. What's going on? Great to see you. Denise got a great little comment here. Thank you, Denise, for putting this up there.
Yeah, it was good to see you the other night, Denise.
This is awesome. And I want to give a shout out to my man Greer and Jessica. You guys are with us live and are each week. And I got to see Greer and this past week. And one, I'm thinking about everybody in the airports now. I hope everybody is safe. I know it's been a wild week for you guys, but thankfully you guys got my sister home safely last night. So thank you.
But Greer, good job. Good job. I couldn't believe she flew into Tri-Cities at 10:30 last night during that massive storm we had. But the comment about Denise, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be in West Palm Beach in February. Mm. So if it's the same week I'm there, I'll sure try to get by there. And the ozone as well that you're doing is fantastic treatment. So I hope that's the same week I'm already there. I go there for a professional tennis tournament every February. And I think Ben may join me this year. Interesting. We'll have to talk about that.
Thank you, Denise, for putting that up there. We're going to get into some questions. We only had one come throughout the week, so we're going to quickly get into live Q&A. So if you have a question for Doc, go ahead and put it in the comments. Again, we're super appreciative that everyone's spending their evening with us tonight. If you don't know, we do this every single Tuesday at 7, taking live Q&A on any of your health and wellness questions. And this was a methylene blue question, which is a common topic that we get on the show. A couple things that stand out to me is one is the mention of weight as well as capsule form. I'll go ahead and read the question for the podcast listeners. What milligram do I take of methylene blue as a 185-pound man? And this is in capsule form. When I think of methylene blue, I do think of the drops. Tell me a little bit about the capsule form as well.
Yeah, you can get it in capsule form. I hope, we've ordered some for our office to dispense in capsule form along. It also has a little bit of vitamin C in it. When you take methylene blue, if you take vitamin C along with it, it makes it more absorbable. But so the capsule form, certainly great. You could probably dose the drops a little more delicately if you wanted to, but I'm not sure there's a need to do that. And certainly don't want you to let your dogs get into methylene blue because, we'll try to flip up some pictures of my dogs when they got into methylene blue.
Oh, they'll be here.
Ruined carpets and hardwoods and their fur. But anyway, so it does stain things, but it's actually how they originally found methylene blue back in 1860s. There were these textile chemists that were dyeing jeans, and they loved chemists like to look at everything through a microscope. So when they put the methylene blue on the microscope, they noticed that it also outlined the various parts of a cell. And so to this day, we still use methylene blue to stain our slides to look at various organisms and parts of your cell. So, but the one thing they also noticed was that the methylene blue, they were able to identify the parasite that causes malaria, and which is a real breakthrough. But they further noticed that it killed the malaria parasite. And so actually it was the first treatment for malaria, and actually it's a precursor to hydroxychloroquine that's used millions and millions of times to cure malaria, and as well as a lot of other things. So methylene blue is one of those things that just fascinates me. I take it every day now, and it's very safe. You really don't need to, if you take a deep dive on this, you'll see some possible interactions like with SSRIs and MAO inhibitors, but it's really not a concern. But as far as the dose of it, your 185-pound man, a lot of it depends on what you're taking it for. There's a lot of different uses. If you're just doing it for, you want to breathe better and have more energy and maybe focus a little better, you could get by with probably taking about a total of 16 milligrams a day. But if you do it milligrams per kg, I think 185 pounds, probably about 85 kgs, maybe kilograms, but it's dosed anywhere from 0.5 milligram per kilogram to all the way up to 3. So, you could take, it just depends on what you're taking it for, but if it's for serious acute infections, like we use it for COVID and a lot of other acute infections, UTIs, things like that. You know, we usually use about 32 milligrams for that. If it's Alzheimer's prevention, it's usually 16 milligram. Alzheimer's treatment, I use 32 milligram per day. And I usually like to split the dose up into twice a day. So it just depends. You can go way up on it, a lot higher than I used to think you could. But all I'm doing now, I do the drop form just because I have them, and it's a half milligram per drop. So I do 8 drops twice a day. So that's a low dose. Again, that's on the low side. But if you ever want to take a deep dive into it, and I think this guy may even have a podcast. He's an MD, Dr. Scott Scherr, I think's his name, S-H-E-R-R. I think Annie may have heard him lecture in Las Vegas about a month ago at the A4M conference. But you can look his stuff up, and he's pretty much an expert on it and gives a lot of different dosing guidelines for various conditions. So I hope that helps you. Yeah, but, you know, if you do take the really high, real, real high doses, you may want to do that short term. It could still mess a little bit with your gut microbiome. And if you do that, don't start out taking that much. You know, work your way up, titrate up. So I hope that helps you.
Thank you so much for that question around methylene blue. I just looked up that name. I want to make sure we get that right if anybody wants to dive a bit deeper on that. I see you on Instagram. Let's see here. Megan Inspirations, I got you. I can see your comment. If you guys want, have questions over there on Instagram, put it in the comments. I can see those. I won't be able to put it on the screen, but I'll just read it out to Doc so we can get all y'all's questions answered as well. And Megan, we're going to start with you in just a second. Katie, what's going on? Great job today. Great job this week, everybody. Thank you for being here. Katie and Carter have been working all day.
That reminds me of a great story to tell. I was doing telemedicine today, and you know, I just get tickled at some of the things that I think about when I'm talking to people on the phone. You know, and I went over a lot of Clevelands today. It seemed like we did a lot of reviews of Clevelands. And this one guy, he's about my age, so he's got some age on him for sure. And he had a really good Cleveland, you know, very improved and over the years. And I congratulated him off of on his Cleveland, you know, how well he was doing. And it just popped into my mind, and I told him this, and it kind of shocked him. But I said, you know, mentally and physically, you are as healthy or probably healthier than the president of the United States. And he was really pumped up about that.
We'll leave it at
that. I hope everybody's laughing. I try not to get political with these things, but that made him really feel good that he was as mentally and physically as capable as the president of the U.S. So that's pretty much a compliment, I guess.
to be a fly on the wall.
I'm going to use that more often. I mean, if it makes somebody feel better, you know.
Hey, you know what? Katie said you're not. I believe it. I believe every word of that. I think that's amazing. And I do think one thing that I'm catching from that is that your Cleveland can improve. And I think that's really cool. And that's one of the ways, one of the big things that I know we do in offices. People get those once or twice a year, and sometimes they can be a little discouraging at the beginning, but you can improve those, which is super cool.
You know, another patient tickled me too, because I was going over their Cleveland as well, and I guess we were talking about his cholesterol or something, and he goes, "My family doctor says this. Do you concur?" And I immediately thought about, it came to my mind, that movie that Leonardo DiCaprio was in, where, true story too, it's based off a true story, where he faked being different professions. Like, he was an airline pilot, and he wasn't even a pilot, but he pretended like he was. But he pretended like he was a doctor, and in order to impress this girl who was a nurse, this young girl. So he really didn't know anything about medicine. So he was the attending doctor at this teaching facility. So what he did was go around to the bedside with the interns and would ask them, Dr. Smith, what do you think about this patient right here? And the intern would rattle off, well, I think he has familial Mediterranean fever. And Leonardo would go, I concur. So concurring may not mean anything. You could have a lot of people concur about a lot of things, but it just brought out that Catch Me If You Can. Great. That was a best great movie.
Yep.
Loved it. I love that movie. Thank you, Carol. But I got a big kick out of just that thing came up, that word concur came up in the medical setting. And I go, you know, you got to be careful when you concur with something, because a lot of medicine is opinions. I'll tell you, like I was telling you last week, if anybody wants to hear a great podcast on what's happened to our medicine in the United States, our healthcare system, you really ought to listen to an episode of Joe Rogan, whether you like him or don't like him. He brings some interesting guests on. And this guy was named Bueller.
Oh, you guys can't see that. That one. There we go. Brigham.
Yeah, there you go. Bueller. But that is a really good podcast. It's long. It's a little over 2 hours long. But if you listen to that, this Bueller guy is not a doctor, but he's been in healthcare for years. He gives the best summary of what's really happened to our healthcare system and who the bad guys are. You know, number one, the insurance companies are the real bad guys. They're the top of the list, the insurance companies. And then Big Pharma ranks up there. You know, they do some good things, but they also are in cahoots when they buy out people. So they're probably number two bad guy. The government's probably number three, maybe hospitals number four. But he just talks about this whole, he's got a great description of the primary care business and how, why the primary care doctors just really can't be that good. It's almost impossible for them to be good at what they do. They're not trained right, and they don't have enough time to spend with you to get to the root of the problem. And they're searching for codes and are so burned out. They really, it's just a tough position. It's not that their own fault either, but I could just see that what he was describing was me 20, 25, 30 years ago. And he made the statement that you really can't practice as a primary care doctor. You cannot practice good medicine unless you're a cash based model. And that's, I was going, yay, because that's what we've been doing for 18 years. And it was just a good, I concurred with that. Okay. So anyway, listen to that podcast. A great summary. I wish everybody would listen to that. Anybody that's interested in health should listen to that. And especially physicians who are kind of hamstrung by this thing, this whole medical system that we practice in, that you really don't have to practice in, but 99% of them are doing it that way. And unfortunately, but anyway,
in the comments for those with us live, has anybody listened to that episode on the Joe Rogan Experience with Bueller? Let me look at this one more time. It's Brigham Bueller.
It's not Ferris Bueller. You know, that's another great movie that you should watch. But
Mason's asking what podcast is. It's the Joe Rogan Experience. So if you search Joe Rogan and Brigham
Bueller.
You'll see it. It is super educational just around healthcare.
Nails it. He just absolutely nails it.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that listen to this podcast or this Q&A and listen to my podcast and actually come to see us, they think a little bit different than the average person does.
Yeah.
You know, we get a select group of patients that are really kind of more interested in this type of thing, cutting edge, preventive, you know, proactive rather than reactive medicine. So, it's a great podcast listen to. I recommend it.
And we'll keep putting that up, guys, if you guys want to check that out. I see Robin's in the building. Robin Riddle, what's going on? Starve, explain this. Our nurse practitioner in the West Knoxville office, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Margo is in with us tonight, our PA over in Fountain City. Huge shout out to the Fountain City Clinic. And we're gonna get to the Instagram question. I see we got a few people in here. Megan, thank you so much for being patient with me. over on Instagram. I'm going to just mention this for you, Doc, because I can't put the actual question up on screen. So this is over on Instagram. Megan is asking, I was wondering what it means if you have a low vitamin E gamma TOCO level, which I could be mispronouncing that, T-O-C-O, but a normal vitamin E alpha TOCO. Does that make any sense? Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, wow, that's a good test that you got, because it's just separating the different forms of vitamin E, tocotrienols. So the alpha, you want the alpha or gamma forms of it. They're more natural. And if you're looking to reduce your cholesterol through a natural way, I really like the mixed tocopherol. So those have several different types in it. And that, I've had some really good luck with bringing down cholesterol with those. We keep them in the office, but they're just kind of differentiating the different types of vitamin E is what they're doing. I haven't seen that test, but that's interesting. I really like to start doing that. Really, maybe I can get them to start running that on the Cleveland.
So you're saying it's okay if you have a low gamma versus a normal. You're looking at the alpha, correct?
Yeah, well, you're looking at alpha, delta, and gamma.
Okay.
And the delta gamma is the one I usually focus on.
Okay.
But there are some forms of alpha that are pretty good too. But usually if you're getting these things from somewhere like Life Extension, you know, you're getting a good one. And I'll have to, if I can get my multi down here, I'll tell you what form I put in mine. I know it's the best, so.
Megan is saying the alpha was normal and the gamma was low.
Yeah. Okay.
Megan, I hope that helps. What we'll do is we need to, I guess, figure out that test. It seems very useful. So thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
There's some gamma. You can get gamma alone. I know that, but yeah. I'll see what I put in mine.
Is in your super?
It's in my super. I'm going to need my glasses to read that. Can you read that?
I can. It says vitamin E as D-alpha tocopherol acetate, as D-alpha. Yeah.
The alpha is the one that I choose to put in mine. It's the...
Which you also really have the succinate.
And you like gammas too, but you can get the mixed with all of them in there. But yeah, the alpha is the best. The D-alpha is the one that I prefer. Okay. So as long as that's normal, that's your most important one.
Got it.
If you're looking to bring down your cholesterol, you might want to get the mix with the gammas.
All right.
But Megan, I think delta may be the one that they put in most vitamin E, and it's not as good.
Megan, I hope that helps. We're going to keep going. I'm going to go back over to Facebook here. Let's see. We got a couple questions come in. Darren, I see you. Let's see. Let's go. I think Stan or Gwen. There we go, Gwen. All right. Gwen is asking, do you have any advice for shingles? I've been taking Valtrex for almost a week now. We're starting to get quite a few questions about shingles. So thank you, Gwen, for putting this up. I know this is helping more than just one person. What's going on with this?
Yeah. You know, shingles can be rough. I've had one little episode of it myself, and fortunately got on Valtrex quickly. And also I would take prednisone for a few days as well. I think that really helps it. You know, when I see somebody with shingles, I immediately put them on both, because shingles will go away, but the neuropathy might not go away. They call it postherpetic neuropathy. So what shingles is an old chicken pox, reincarnation. They can come out for various reasons, stress, who knows. It can come out for no reason, but you know, it's really painful, and it lasts for a while, at least a couple weeks. But the sooner you treat it with Valtrex or acyclovir and prednisone, the quicker you're going to get better. You need to really tampen down that inflammatory response with prednisone. So especially if it's on the face, it starts to get on the end of the nose or in the eye, you know, it can be bad. I've seen some terrible cases of shingles for sure. So hit it hard. Don't worry about taking prednisone for a few days.
Gwen, I hope that helps. I hope you start to feel better. Let's get to Stan here. Type A flu seems more like a cold, but what can you do for the coughing that lasts for several weeks? Stan, we hope you start to feel better, man. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I agree. And that cough can be really persistent. You know, if an antihistamine doesn't work, like Zyrtec, and sometimes that does help a tickle cough. Sometimes I'll use something like Tessalon Pearls. And they're coughing pills that don't make you drowsy or anything like that. Mucinex may help a little bit. Mucinex tends to thin up the secretions that you get that can irritate the throat. So it may be like a tickle cough. Now, if it's a deep cough and you're coughing up stuff, you might even have to take a Z-Pak or a round of antibiotics, because even though it started out as a virus, you can get bacterial superinfections on top of that. So if you're not improving, I'd think about that. And I'd also, and if you're wheezing or having a lot of inflammation, I'd even think about a few days of prednisone as well. And make sure that it's not reflux. You know, you can always try Pepcid or something short term to see if it's a reflux cough. More than likely, it's just bronchial irritation from where you had the flu. But some people, like when Jenny gets something like this, she coughs for a month or more.
Yeah,
I mean, she coughs a lot. I've tried everything on her, even round of steroids. Sometimes I even use inhalers, like Pulmicort inhalers that we use so much of during COVID. And that seems to calm it down. So if you're not clearing up, it needs to be looked at for sure.
Stan, I hope you feel better. Thank you for putting in that question. I know that's going around, so thank you for putting that in there. It's good to Darren on Facebook. Been on Ozempic for 3 weeks at 0.25. My carb and sugar intake is very low, and my blood sugar is averaging 142 down from 280 at my first visit. Should I increase my Ozempic to 0.5? Darren, thank you so much for this question.
Great question. Yeah, definitely. You should definitely go up. You know, as a matter of fact, being a diabetic, anybody with 280 is a diabetic, needs to work their dose up higher. You know, they say the maximum dose, but you'll probably, since you're having such a great response, always do 0.25 for 4 weeks, then 0.5 for 4 weeks, and then I'll go to one. And sometimes I'll go to two. It goes from one to two. You see more nausea at two. But yeah, try to work your way up to one, and you're probably going to need just to stay on it as well. Still stay on your diet, but when you get on Ozempic or Mounjaro, you're just not going to be hungry for one thing. Those cravings for carbs are going to go way down.
Yeah.
So congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really pumped about the response of this new class of GLP-1 agonists are amazing. And then if that doesn't work, add the GIP Mounjaro and works just as good or better.
Darren, thank you
so much.
Work
your dose up. That's too low a dose at 0.25.
Great job there, Darren. We're proud of you. Thank you for putting that in there. Let us know if that helps. If you need us to clarify anything, let's go. Let's see here. I'm going to go to, where am I at? Let's see. All right. My brother Mark is with us tonight. Mark, I hope you're well, man.
Hey, Mark.
Let's see. I went to a rheumatologist last week. He spent 50 minutes with me. 45 was on a laptop. 5 minutes was the exam. Medicare regulations kept me from providing any of my meds. Insurance prevented ordering my labs. Am I reading that right, Mark? Let's see. I think this might be just a comment around the cash only thing. Okay. I think this was more a comment around the more traditional model. Mark, am I wrong there? You seen anything, Doc?
I'm glad you got into a rheumatologist finally, but Medicare regs kept the rheumatologist from providing any of my meds, insurance prevented ordering my labs. Okay. Okay. In other words, the Medicare, that makes sense to me, really, to be honest with you. But, a doctor is an independent, you don't have to prescribe what Medicare says you have to. You can kind of think outside the box. That may be what he's talking about. I'm sure that, he probably wants to order his own labs and maybe, just kind of see what's going on with you. Maybe not as many labs as you'd like him to order, but interesting. That's a tough gig. There's one specialist that I'd hate to be in. It's a rheumatologist. And it's hard to get in to see him because there's just not many of them. Not that they can't do great things, they can, but most of the time, I won't say most of the time, but a lot of times they can't tell you exactly what you have. And they don't tend to think outside the box too much because they're overworked, underpaid probably, and don't have time for it. Plus, they deal with a lot of chronic pain, to be honest with you,
yeah,
and a lot of really old people. So it's a tough gig,
Mark, I hope that helps a little bit. Thank you for putting that comment at us, go right along with what we were talking about with just, healthcare in general. Like we say every week, a lot of this is about taking control of your own health and doing the things that you have control over. And that's really how we hope you guys use this show, to educate yourself so you can go in when you go see your doctor with the right questions. Because there's a lot of different things that you can do. And, we obviously talk a lot about some of the outside the box stuff. I appreciate you putting that in there.
Mark, maybe you should take a tape of Joe Rogan's interview with Mr. Bueller and get the rheumatologist to listen to it for 2.5 hours. You think he'd do that? Highly doubtful, but you could try.
Darren is loving the Freestyle Libre 2. Thank you for putting that in there. Awesome. We're huge fans of the Freestyle Libre. Let's see here. I think I'm caught up. I'm going to put up Jody's question here. What to do with dry heat, headaches, sinus infections? I do keep humidifier on. This is, obviously very common right now. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I suffer with that too. I really dry out easily. So avoid taking antihistamines if you're on that. Drink a lot of water. Keep your humidifier on, but make sure you clean your humidifier, because if you don't, you're just spewing out funguses and everything else. You may even try doing some sinus rinses with a Navage, which I really like mine with sinus irrigations. Keep a lot of moisture on your skin through CeraVe or some of the better moisturizers. It's kind of a tough gig. It really is. I like to put coconut oil on my skin. I have really dry skin.
Yep.
So moisturize, drink a lot of water, and make sure you get enough electrolytes as well. One thing that really helps me is my infrared sauna and a cold shower. It really opens up my sweat glands a lot. And I always use sweat cream in there, which is mostly coconut oil.
Super interesting. Jody, thank you for putting that in there. I've even noticed myself getting some dry skin with a cold. So thank you for putting
that in. I go down to South Florida. My skin didn't bother me a bit down there in the winter.
I'm going to put this up here from Denise. Thank you for this comment, Denise, for the shingles question. We've used IV ozone to knock out shingles quickly. So thank you for
that. IV ozone is a really interesting product.
I'm glad Denise
is somebody around here doing it.
Yep.
Interesting.
Thank you for that. Denise, let's see here. I know Mark sent us some stuff around the rice diet. Huge resurgence in Duke University Right Diet for health conditions from long COVID to heart disease. You have any thoughts on this rice diet, Doc?
Yeah, I think Mark sent me some stuff on that. It looked pretty promising. And yeah. Somebody like Duke's looking into it, then that's just amazing. You know, I don't have any experience in using it, but, you know, certainly I've read the stuff and it sounds really promising. Really interesting.
Mark, thank you for putting that in there. I think I'm up to date on questions, guys. If you guys have a question for Doc, we're going to be here for just a little while longer. You can put it in the comments. Real quick, I do want to ask you about the greenhouse with our good friend Jonathan. Tell me, like, what did you kind of pick up from that? Because I know you have one of these boxes. What's your thoughts? Was it bigger than what we saw on camera? Is that right?
Well, one thing I picked up was is Jonathan's just a really good human being. He cares a lot about people, and you know his mission is really to help people start eating things that are clean. Instead of all the junk food that we do eat, it's changed his health around a lot. And it's just amazing that when you go in a place that big and that impressive, you just feel better.
Yeah.
And the day I was in there, one reason there's so much noise during that, it was pouring rain.
Yeah.
And windy and all, and you know, they have all the fans in there, so it's kind of noisy. But also that organic smell, and that soil that he uses for these plants has been around nourishing plants and flowers for like 40 years. So it's really like gold as far as what he's growing this stuff in. And it was just really cool the way that he talked about it. And, you know, everybody is kind of worried now, not to be conspiracy theorist or anything, but a lot of people are worried about the supply chain and, you know, whether or not we're going to be able to get decent food because of the supply chain may end or at least have pauses in it. So, boy, what a nice thing. What a nice thought that he had.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of anybody else doing this, to have your own indoor garden in your house.
Yeah.
It lasts for a month or two, and it's all, there's no fertilizers in it, and you know, the seeds he uses are good. He just keeps repopulating them. I'm reading that book on seeds right now and what they put in them. It's kind of scary. So it's just really comforting to know that you can pick indoors out of your own garden.
There's seeds.
I don't know if you have any pictures of his boxes that he actually made me one for Christmas. And that's why I thought about doing a podcast with him. But, I mean, just about every vegetable you can think about, you can get in the box. And the other thing is, you know, he, if you want to, he'll provide fresh, eggs in your box as well.
And I picked up a lot from that episode. One thing is just one, you know, wherever you are, you know, getting to know your local farmers, and kind of paying attention to, you know, where your food starts to where it ends. It's really interesting. Just being more and more intentional about what you put in your mouth. And I think, you know, I think we're heading in that direction. And Jonathan just has a beautiful thing going on. You can tell just by listening to him how passionate he is.
He's a grower. I told him he has the greenest green thumb I've ever seen.
He
really does. I've known him for years, whether it be, you know, lawn care, landscaping, And now with the gardens and things. But even I asked him about, you know, the grocery stores and all. And he says, this, by the time it gets in the grocery stores, you know, it's probably, especially this time of year, it's probably coming from Mexico, California, Florida. It's not really that fresh.
Yeah.
It's going to have preservatives in it. So if you can get something without preservatives that grows right in this rich soil in your house, then it's just an amazing thing to me. And I can really tell a difference. I can tell you when I go over and pick some of my own and rinse it off, it tastes so much better than what I buy from the grocery, you know, because it's usually when you buy from the grocery, it's in a plastic bag. And yeah, you know, it's just, you can almost taste the plastic. You really can. Kind of like when you drink bottled water from a plastic jug or water bottle. It's just, you know, we live in a very toxic world, and all you can, you really need to be doing everything you can to eat fresh. And there's nobody that can argue that eating vegetables is not good for you, unless, you know, your gut can't handle it. And usually that's a problem with your own gut. It's not really a problem from the vegetables themselves. So it's just really interesting. I hope everybody will listen to that podcast that we put out from today. I need to get him back on there and see. But these things are very affordable, and it's just a great thing he's doing. I'm going to keep going, keep it resupplied all the time.
Well, I think that the big takeaway is just, you know, being intentional about where your food comes from. And you know, and I think, you know, he has such great insight into that. So shout out to Jonathan Hauser. Thank you so much for coming on. I see Mark has a methylene blue question, which I dig. I'm going to put this up there. And then I see Velma's question. Thank you guys for putting that in. I'm going to answer that with Molly as well. New use of methylene blue and red light comb therapy to treat antibiotic resistant mycoplasma for humans and dogs. Any thoughts on this, Doc?
Yeah, that's a good combination. Red light therapy is just amazing for many ways. What red light does, and I have one in my infrared sauna and I have a handheld. What it does is it kind of activates your mitochondria to produce more ATP. And in combination with other medicines like methylene blue, it's just an amazing synergistic effect. You know, I'm probably going to end up buying a red light blanket. You see them at all these conferences we go to, and you can get under them, and then you can almost feel it working, you know, immediately. You don't have to wait long before you get results. But red light therapy is just amazing.
Yeah.
And certainly combined with methylene blue, what a great treatment for your mitochondria.
Thank you for putting that in there, Mark. That is a combination we've got to talk more about. We haven't explained this episode with Robin on red light therapy. You can combine that with our couple episodes on methylene blue. So, Mark, thank you for putting that in there. I see my buddy Brandon's in the building. Speaking of somebody who eats extremely clean, Brandon's with us tonight. Huge shout out to Brandon, the entire Allen household.
Hey, Brandon.
We got Molly's asking about Jonathan, and I, to be honest with you, Molly, I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
I know. It's just, yes, former Torbert, who was there for many years and just got old enough to where he couldn't do it anymore, apparently, the Torbert family. So, yes, it's the same place. It's in Piney Flats.
Okay. All right. Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Molly, for putting that in there. Let's get to, Stan, I know we're going to have a very limited staff tomorrow. I think we're doing telehealth. So
we may, it just depends. We may have more of a staff than we think.
We're kind of taking it hour by hour, but we're going to do the best we can, Stan. I promise you that. If you need to, just shoot a DM over on Facebook, and we'll try to help you out in any way that we can. Let's get to Velma here. 88-year-old sister has problem with acid reflux, has used most of the common medications. Is there anything else she can do? Nothing is helping.
Yeah, the first thing I'll look at is, you know, what may be causing the reflux. Is it a hiatal hernia? Is it some food or drink like coffee, caffeine, anything acidy, citrus type things? So if you can look and try to find out what the cause of it is, sometimes that upper esophageal sphincter gets, you know, a little bit lax, and it lets some of the acid from the stomach get into the esophagus and causes problems, certainly causes reflux, heartburn. But assuming, you know, you've tried the diet and you've gone from Pepcid to Prilosec to Nexium, and again, you don't want to use those forever. You'd rather find the root cause of the problem. But some people have a large hiatal hernia. Some people even have a Barrett's esophagus that require chronic antacids, because the benefits of that outweighs the risk. But, and especially if she's 88 years old and miserable, there needs to be something. Now, a couple of things that are more heavy hitters is a medicine called Dexalant. That's the heaviest heavy duty PPI that there is. I've seen it work when nothing else would work. Sometimes I'll use an old timey medicine like Carafate. Sometimes if you get into the herbal stuff, slippery elm bark is pretty good. Ginger can help. But certainly look at the diet first. You know, and you might even want to, if you've had it for severe reflux for a long time, you've probably had an EGD or a scope to look in there and see if you have a Barrett's esophagus or a large hiatal hernia. You know, so hopefully you've done that already. And also don't eat and lay down. Everybody knows that. So, and at nighttime, keep the head of your bed elevated. But Dexalant, Carafate are two things that you may consider adding if nothing else has worked. So I hope that helps you.
Velma, I hope that helps. Thank you for putting that question in there for your sister. Let us know if there's if that does help. And I see Allison over at the Blakes with us tonight. Hope you're staying warm tonight, Allison. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Huge shout out to the Blake. You guys are the best. I think we're through the questions. We'll take any last minute ones. If you have one, then we're going to jump out of here. Oh, there we go. This is a picture, from Jonathan's greenhouse. That's super cool. Oh, there we go. Look at that. We do got some pictures. Thank you. Look at that. And that's all, that's, is that all vegetables?
Look at how pretty that is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dang, all that's pretty cool.
All of it.
That's incredible. And yeah, you're right, Molly. Off Torbett Lane there. Super cool. Thank you, team, for putting that up there for us. You know what? I think we should just put this up. I'm with you, Doc. It kind of makes me feel healthy just looking at it.
Yeah, especially when you're in there. The smells are great, and you just feel better.
That's phenomenal. That is phenomenal.
That's one cure for dry skin, too. Get in there and spend some time.
Yep.
Your skin's not going to be dry in there.
Yeah. Well, thank you, team, for putting that up there. That was super, super, super helpful. I hope that, I hope that makes everyone in here feel a little healthier. That's awesome. Brian, I saw you over there on Instagram, man. Thank you for being with us on Instagram and see Facebook here. I'm going to get your question in. I'm sorry if I missed it over there. Brian is asking, is there any difference between compounded tirzepatide and name brand Zepbound?
Yeah. Zepbound is the weight loss version of Mounjaro. Same exact thing. The compounded tirzepatides has to be a little bit different, either in there has to be a little add. Sometimes they'll add a little something into it, like a vitamin, or use different dosing, because really compounders can't make something identical to the brand name unless there's a shortage. And you know, that's one reason why we've been able to use tirzepatide compounded and semaglutide compounded, because there's been a shortage. So it's, there is a subtle difference, but we've used a ton of it and it works. You know, I've had a couple people tell me, well, I didn't get quite the same effect as I did on Mounjaro, or in the case of semaglutide, I didn't get quite what I did with Ozempic. But it's very rare that I hear that. You know, one of the main things is you're drawing it from a vial. It's not as fancy as a pen and all. So you have to get the dose right. But that's good. It's helped you lose 80 pounds. Isn't that amazing?
That's incredible.
There was a great article that I clipped out of the Wall Street Journal this past week. And it was a guy that had a very interesting commentary on how he battled his whole life obesity. and how he was, how he'd done so well on this, and he was questioning himself whether he needed to continue it. It was expensive, and, you know, the thoughts around the social aspect of being leaner. It was just a really good discussion on the use of it. And, you know, from my experience, you need to, people that have metabolic syndrome and obesity, you know, it's a metabolism problem. You need to stay on the medicine. Now, some people are able to keep on a relatively smaller doses than the main one, than the top dose. But it's a really interesting article about how he's come to view himself. He no longer is thinking about eating all the time. You know, those people are not lazy. They have a metabolism problem that's different than somebody else's.
Look at this from Brian. This is incredible. Ran your first race last week and not going back. Man, that's incredible, Brian. We're so darn proud of you.
It's so encouraging to lose that amount of weight in a fairly relatively short period of time. I think it really helps you psychologically to want to, you know, think about what you eat. And that goes for anything, really.
Yeah.
So I like fast weight loss. I don't like slow weight loss. I think fast loss works better in contrast to what we've been taught.
That's super interesting.
Congratulations. Brian, that's awesome.
Brian, thank you so much for sharing. I know that is that's encouraging. There's, you know, 59 people with us tonight. And I hope that encourages someone in here. That's all you, man. Thank you so much.
And you probably want to stay on some kind of dose of that. Because 85% of the people, if they stop it, they regain their weight. Mm-hmm. So there is a 15%. And that's very similar to what any diet, most diets ultimately fail. They all work, they all fail. So, you know, sometimes though, knowledge of, you know, what to eat, like lower carbs for the most part. And I also like intermittent fasting. That's really, really been a game changer for a lot of my patients. So not for everybody, but yeah, for a lot of them.
Brian, thank you so much, man. We really do. We're so darn proud of you. Grandma Mary, thank you. My grandmother thinks this show is incredible. So thank you. Molly, thank you. Guys, we're going to call it a night. Doc, thank you for doing this with me tonight on this cold evening.
That's fine, yeah.
You know, man, we do this every single Tuesday at 7:00. It would mean the world to me. There's 57 of you with us right now. If you guys could come back and hang out with us again next week, that'd mean the world to me. We'll be here. I think we're on the Diabetes Tour Guide. We're on the Performance Medicine YouTube channel, as well as Dr. Rogers' LinkedIn, Performance Medicine Facebook, as well as Instagram. So thank you guys for hanging out with us on whatever channel you're on. We certainly do appreciate you. And I think we're going to call it a show. We ready?
Yes, been fun. Thanks, Ben.
Love you guys. See you, thank y'all so much. Montana, thank you. We love you. Thank you so much. To all of our team, we love you guys. Thank you for all the stuff that you're doing in the office and taking care of everybody. We appreciate y'all so much. Stay warm, everybody. We will see y'all next week. Stan, Becky, Karen, we love you. We love you. All right, we're going to get my outro here.
The dogs are out in the snow, so you'll see them next week.
Dogs are playing in the snow. You guys will see them next week. Papa, I love you, man. Thank you for hanging
love
out.
Too, don't go away.
Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.